start at the top of Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara has been querying with regards to Yadot, in that the Gemara's assumption that there is a Yad L'Neder and Yad L'Shvua. Yad L'Neder we learned out from the Pasuk, different Amoraim had, or Tanoim had different opinions about where we learned it out from. But the Gemara knows we have a Yad, or Yad works by Neder. Whereas the Gemara doesn't give a direct source for Yad L'Shvua, the assumption is that since Neder and Shvua are found in the same Pasuk, that Yad would work both for Neder and for Shvua. Now the Gemara has been querying, does Yad have application in other places? So we saw Yad the Gittin, the Gemara saw, we saw did have application because we have the Machlokes Tanoim by Yad the Gittin. And then the Gemara is now asking about Yad the Kedushin, we saw yesterday, and Yad the Peya. So the Gemara continues this morning with, Yesh Yad the Tztaka, Oein Yad the Tztaka. Is there a Yad by Tztaka or not? Hechi Dami. What's the case? Ilema Damar Hadin Zuzalut Tztaka. If he says, let this coin be for Tztaka, Vadei Nami, and also this one. I mean, here's another coin, he says also this one. Right, that, Hau Tztaka La Atzmahi. That is pure Tztaka. There's no question about what you meant there, and that's not a Yad. That's basically giving stuck Ella Kagon Damar Hadain. Says Hadain and also, right, and they didn't say the word Hadain in this one, but not Nami also. So Alo Amar Nami, I didn't include the word Nami. Madin. What am I? What's the din? Hadain Nami Stoko Kamar that he's saying also. This also should be for Tztaka. Odilma My Vadain, what does the word Adain mean? Lenafkuta bi alma kamar, he says, and this one will be, almost, this one will be for my use. Meaning that this one's for Tztaka, and this one, he didn't finish up his sentence, means it'll be for my use. Now again, the Ran points out, that this is a case where it's a Yad Mokhiach. The problem is not in his Lashon of Yad or not Yad. This is the way the Ran's been learning the whole Sugya. The question here is not about Yad Sheino Mokhiach or Yad Mokhiach, but rather the question is there a Yad at all? I mean, if there's a Yad by Tztaka, then Hadain would work. The only question is, if there is no Yad, then we have to reinterpret his Hadain to mean something else, and therefore it would not work in this case. Somewhere says, and there, he was just really going to use the coin for something else, but he just didn't get to finish. He didn't get through his words. Mi amrina, and what do we say? Kevin ikash la karbonos. There's a hekesh between staka and karbonos. Dichtiv, right? By the ficha, by nedarim. By in the parsha of Ketetze, when it talks about nedarim, it uses the term v'ficha. And Moses v'adacha tishmor kol asher tzotzim v'ficha, something to that effect. The pasuk v'zud staka. The Gemara interprets that to be staka. So, ma karbanos yesh lahem yad, af staka yesh lahem yad. What do we say? Do we say just like karbanos have a yad, meaning yad l'nezer by karbanos, so too staka is going to have a yad and functions over here. Odilma, the hekesh, only works for the baal ta'akar hu ta'akar itkish. You shall not have delay bringing. If you make a commitment to give staka, you're not allowed to delay, in giving that staka, just like there is a restriction against, or a lav, against delaying and bringing the karbanos. So that's Gemara again. The Gemara leaves this inconclusive, like it's done in the other previous questions. All the questions here, the Gemara brings down the different stadim, but never brings anything conclusive. So we had that by Kedushin, we had that by Peya now, and now we had it by Tzedakah. Now the Gemara queries about, is Yad Hefker? Right? Is there a Yad by Hefker? When you want to make something Hefker, does it work when you use a Yad? Gemara says, Hainu Tzedakah. What's the difference between Hefker and Tztaka? So, say, it's Tztaka you give away, you're giving, trying to give something away, you're handing it out, so to Hefker, you're trying to give it away. Why should it be different? Why should the dinim be different? So Gemara says, Imtim Salomar Karmar. It's an Imtim Salomar. Imtim Salomar Yesh Yad Tztaka. If we agree, or if we conclude that Tztaka has a Yad, then the Ein Hekesh the Mechsa, because we don't make a Hekesh, a partial Hekesh, between Karbanos and Tztaka. So we say, just like Baal Ta'akar applies with Tztaka, so too Yad will apply with Tztaka. So if you say that, what? Mi Arminin Hainu Tztaka. Do we say that Hefker is exactly like Tztaka? Odilma, shiny Tztaka. Maybe Tztaka is different than Hefker. Why? It's Tztaka lo kazi aliyanim. Staga is unique, meaning that it's only roi for the aniyim. It's only going to be given to one party. Although hefker, when it comes to hefker, you're giving it free for all, meaning ben laniyim, ben leashirim. And since it'll go both to the aniyim and the ashirim, maybe there's a reason to believe over here that they won't be the ability, you need a stronger lashon. In order to free it up to be given to everybody, you'll need a stronger lashon. And therefore, yad would not work in this case. Again, Gemara's left the queries, but leaves it inconclusive. And the last one, here we go, by Ravina, yesh yad beit kise or lo. Right, is there a yad for a beit kise or not, for a bathroom? Hechidami, what's the case here? If he designates a certain location or house or place as a beit kise, and then he says about another one, v'adenami, in this room also, right, or this place also, right, that how beit kise nami habo, right, that would work. I mean, I don't know, as opposed to the other cases, which is that is stucco. Over here, it's not going to say this is a beit kise, but this is also. Means that it'll be a beit kise, and then there's nothing to talk about. Ella comes to Marv Hadain, and he didn't use Vlomar Nami. My Hadain, the Amar. What does it mean when he says Hadain? Vadain Nami beit kise. When he says Hadain, this one, about the other beit kise, does he mean also this one will be? Or Dilma Mai Vadain, Latashmisha Be'alma. I mean, this one is for the bathroom, Vadain, and this one is for all use. Come on, Michael.
What's the significance of designated for beit kise? Is it, you know, that you can't die, that you can't dive in
good,
there,
yeah.
You can't,
Right, so the Rashi says it's usually fallible, you can't dive in there, the Ron says usually krios krishma there. Exactly. That the, whether this now takes on a status of beit kise, which would restrict you from having dvarim shibakadusha in there, in the beit kise.
I seem to remember the left of Mishnah Berurah is that when, even if you designate something, if it's new, you designate it, until you actually use it,
right, by a tefillin bag. That's right. Mm-hmm. Mishnah Berurah says it by a tefillin bag. You have to have, it mice it, but automatically defines it, but hazmana, the question of whether hazmana milsa or not, which is my folks in the Gemara, we're just about to get to it. Nichlal, so from this, it seems to pshita lula Ravina, that it's clear to Ravina that what? Yesh zimon the beit kise, which was what you were just asking about, that you can designate a beit kise, and that has significance, in that the designation itself has significance. Why? Because the underlying assumption when you question whether there's a yad the beit kise or no yad the beit kise means that there's a reason to have a yad the beit kise. It means that if you said beit kise without the yad, meaning you directly designate it as a beit kise, that has meaning. And our only question now is, does the yad work? But the underlying assumption is that zimun, the designating of something as a beit kise, has significance. Bahami violate the Ravino. So Ravina asks the question, is milu beit kise ma'u? When you designate something as a beit kise, what's the din? Is Vino the Beit America? It's Mao. If you designate it as a bathtub, what's the din? Zimun Moel? Or ain't Zimun Moel? So this is exactly what you were asking about. Is Hazmana Milsi or is Hazmana Lav Milsi? When you designate an item without using it yet, is that significant enough then to make this item restricted with all the restrictions that would apply to it? For instance, by Beit Kisa Beit America, that you wouldn't be able to enter and daven in there by its filling bag. If you designate it, you couldn't use it for Tashmishe Chol. Is that the case? Or do you have to have a mice? So here we see that what? That Ravina was asking whether Hazmana is effective or not. And now over here, Ravina is asking, is there a Yad Beit Kise or not? Which automatically assumes that Hazmana is a Milsa. So where it says, Ravina, Chad Migo Chad Komi Boy, he is asking one from the other. Meaning, Zimun Moyo, or in Zimun Moyo. And does designation have impact? Or does it not have impact? If we conclude that designation has significance, then yesh yad or ain't yad. Then it does yad work or not work. So the Gemara, that's tibayule. Since I'm toasted, tibayule means like teiku. It's the equivalent of a teiku over here. So now, the Gemara concluded now all these questions. But it's interesting, the Gemara is inconclusive in each one of these questions. It really does not, really direct you in any way or form. So now, if we just look across in the Ran, I'll just do it quickly because it's interesting. Well, the Inyan Halacha, it's in the Ran. It's found about three, if you go three lines down in the Gemara, the four lines down in the Gemara and go to the left on the Ran, it says Inyan Halacha. So he says, Inyan Halacha, when it comes to Halacha with all these cases here. So big Kiddushin was the first thing that we discussed. Natin in the Chumra, the Yeshiat, right there, we're going to say, that it goes to the Chumra. Why is that? Because, given the bind of Shito, it's a question that was not concluded, does not have an answer. How about I speak it to Oraisa Ulachumra? When it comes to a suffix to Oraisa, it's a suffix and a Torah issue. And therefore, we're going to go past the Lechumra and since it is Yad, we're going to be Choshish for Yad by Kiddushin. Right. Right, exactly. But now, what are we paya? What are we going to do with the next two questions that the Gemara asked about by paya and by tztaka? So, kot of arash pozal, nami azli lechumra, that there we also go lechumra. Came into salku b'teku, because we left them in a teku. The same kot of a ramban, b'chil kutav, ramban said the same thing. So, bind the tztaka lo b'shita b'hedya. Right, that was an answer. Sugin de eshiyad tztaka. And any teku that refers to an isur, right, is lachumra. So now we have the way we go through all these sugyas, except when we haven't dealt with hefker or betakisa right now. But the conclusion so far is that we're going to say that the yad applies to all these cases by kiddushin because it's a halacha de oraisa, it's a Torah law, and therefore we're going to go lachumra. Right, the Rashba says by pay and staka we go lachumra. Doesn't give a reason, and the Ramban says we go by tztaka l'chumra because it's an isura. We're dealing with something that's an isur, and in general, when it comes to isura, we go l'chumra. And then, oh my damar zal tzugin yesh tztaka, I know mishum tzugam rinim tim salomar yesh yad tztaka. Zeh uev shal derech Rambam zal shposuk b'chom akom kim tim salomar. It's a general principle of the Rambam that whenever the Gemara moves to another section and says, if we would conclude in this section like this, and then they ask another question. So Rambam, in general, will paskin like that Imtim Salomar. He sees when the Gemara says Imtim Salomar, the Gemara is concluding the previous sugya, and therefore the next sugya is then built on top of that Imtim Salomar. So over here too, the Ran is suggesting that these poskim will paskin here by Tztaka might be holding like this Ramban. Why? Because by Hefker, what was the first line by Hefker when they queried about Hefker? Imtim Salomar, that there's a Yad Tztaka, right, then, what's the story by Hefker? So it seems to be that the Gemara concluded that Tztaka does have a Yad. That's the he's saying over here. Now he says, the Timahani Aleim, the Ran says, I don't understand any of them. Shari Sugim if Reshati. That, and now the Ran's gonna go through, I won't go through all of these. If you skip down there, so the Ran basically rejects all their Pshatim here because he says that these aren't suffically Surah. That matanos le'aniyim, matnos aniyim in general, he says are considered mamona, money, and not isuro. One of the big proofs he brings is from when you have, demai. Or for instance today, when you have a suffix, when you're makrish, maestros, and trumos mi suffix, right, what do we do with the maeser ani? Right, maeser ani is separated out, and what do we say about maeser ani? We say that amotzi mechavero lavaraya. So we're makrish, the maeser ani, but then we keep it. If it was really a problem of Isura, right, then we should have to, we'd have to give it to the Aniyim, that we couldn't hold on to it. Only if it's a suffix in Mamon do we say Amotzi Mechavero Lavaraya. I mean that once it's Mamon, maybe that's a Amotzi Mechavero Lavaraya. But when it's coming to Isura, we wouldn't say that. Isura would mean that it's a possible Isura that you would violate by keeping it. If that's the case, we'd force you to give it, because we wouldn't want you to be over the Isur. So the Ran basically goes through and proves that Matnos Aniyim is really a din in Mamona. It's a monetary issue, and not an Isura issue, not a Menev issue. If that's the case, what's the din by Suffolk Mamona? We always go, oh, the Kula, or we say, Mosim Echavera Lavaraya. So he says over here that Yad should not work by these cases of Mamon, by Matnos Aniyim, as opposed to what the Rashba and the Ramban were suggesting. By Matanos, that it's really, they said it's Isura, and he suggests that it's Mimona.
It's more by Paya, I don't know where I learned this, but by Paya specifically, probably like at Shifu also, that the Mishnah says something like, after Sukkot, so it's Imavar, that's the end of the season, you know, and if you weren't my you know, so the Avar. So something like that, you know, it's too late, and you were over. Basically, I think the allusion that you were over the Yisur.
Right.
That sound
familiar? You would violate if you took the whole field and you didn't leave Teo, right? Then you would violate to be mivatel on a say of giving him Teo.
But that, you say it's mivatel on a say as opposed to being over a losos.
Right, that is one, but I was wondering if you could differentiate like that. I was saying this, you realize that the Ron is talking about the actual giving of the matan osayim, whereas Yad might reference what you're saying here is the actual separation of the matan osayim. So we might be talking about two different issues, meaning that Yad, or separating out Matnos Einim and Peyah, is something that is removing an Issur, or something that deals with the Isuro. And there we're going to go the Chumrah. Whereas Matnos, the actual giving of the Matano, right, that might be Mamona, or a monetary issue of how you give it, and therefore it would be Mosim Machaber Alavaraya. Problem with what I'm saying is that he's designating something as Peyah. When he designates it as Peyah, then the question is he obligated to give it to the Einim or not now?
Yeah, so also, you'd say it's not even really his anymore. Yeah. Once he designates it as payah.
Right, so it should be given to the Aniyim, and that's a Yad. So that's what the Ran says. The Ran says it's a suffix and mamon, not a suffix end, and he brings a couple of proofs, he brings two or three proofs. In the end, he says, I don't understand what they're saying. And then he brings down by Hefker, since Hefker was also a suffix mamon, Hefker is clearly a suffix mamon, and by suffix mamon, we're going to paskin the kula, so there's no Yad. And also by Beit HaKisei, right, by Beit HaKisei, im tibsalom raziman moyo, lumahani elo midarabonon. Even if you believe that zimun is milsahi, that you preparing something has impact, it's only a din derabonon. If it's a din derabonon, whenever you have a suffix and a din derabonon, we go the kula. So the Ran concludes, for sure, by Hefker and by Beit HaKisei, since the Gemara was inconclusive, we're going to go suffix the kula. Because those are mamonos issues, those are monetary issues, and they're derabonon issues, and therefore, we're going to say it goes the kula. Whereas, and everybody agrees by Kiddushin, we're going to go to Chomro because that's the Oraisa. The only question now is the middle two cases, Repeya and Staka, and that's enough of the Ramban, the Rashba, who believe that it was Isuro, and therefore they're going to go to Chomro, and the Ran, who says that they are Mamono, and therefore he's going to go to the Kula. Alright. The next sugya deals with the last line in the Mishnah. The last line in the Mishnah was, if you use a Lashon of Menuda Anilach, right, if I use the lashon of menuda aliach, Rabbi Akiva ya hochech bazel lechal chachmir. Rabbi Akiva used to laugh at this lechumra, meaning that he was noted. So the word hochech here, how it's used, either mean hochech means hachech means to smile or to move around to rub oneself. So if either he was, you know, he wasn't sure about it, and therefore he went to chumra. Or, you know, when somebody is unsure about what to do, they laugh at themselves, or something like that, or they smile at themselves when they have some uncertainty, they forgot something. And therefore, that's what he meant, that lahachmir means that he was noted lahachmir like this. And Gemara is going to dissect that statement of Rabbi Akiva. Amar Abaye, Moda Rabbi Akiva in Malkos, Shein Aloke. Right? It's clear that Rabbi Akiva would agree that for Malkos, right, that is not the case. Because if it was really also impacted for Malkus, right, then he would say that Rabbi Kiva is machmir in this lashon of menuda, not that he's chochik ba the hachmir. So Amar Rapapa, Rapapa says, let's figure out what lashonos work and what lashonos don't work. If he uses the word mendina minach, then everybody agrees that's a lashon of separation, not a lashon of nidui. Right, the aser misham tana minach. If he says misham tana minach, then the kuliyama shori. Then everybody agrees that lashon is not a lashon neder. That's right. That's a lashon that's only used or is generally used by putting someone shmuti or shamut, means putting them into excommunication. So that's not a lashon of neder, but rather a lashon of excommunication. It's being misused here. The assumption again here is that he's saying shani ochalach. Like Shmuel, we passed like Shmuel above that you have to add in the lashon of Shani Ochelach. So it's a question of, if you say like Rushani, Mekrukani, all those lashonos in the Mishnah, we said Hatav Shani Ochelach, Nuda is going to be included in it. So in these lashonos, if you said Minatina Minach, right, Shani Ochelach, that would be Asur Lagamre, and you'd be Loke, and it'd be Asur. And Mishamtana Minach, even if you said Shani Ochelach, is not meaningful because that's not a lashon HaNeder. Right now, the Ba'ai Pligate, where's the argument? Menuda Anilach. Right, that's the last question that Rabbi Kiva brings in the Mishnah. Menuda Anilach. The Rabbi Kiva Sarva Lishna Denaduya, who. That's a lashon of Nether, something of separation, or Nether. Whereas Rabbanan Sarva Lishna De Misham Tanahu. That is a lashon of Shima Shmuti, lashon of excommunication. So it's not used as a lashon Nether. Alright, so now, based on this, right, that menuda is this unusual lashon where we don't know where to designate it. So designate it as part of the realm of nidarim, or do we put that lashon in the realm of nidoy and shamto, and in the realm of excommunication? So when you use that word, we aren't sure. Rabbi Akiva believes that there's enough reason to believe that it could be used for neder, and therefore we're lahachmir. So Rabbi Akiva say, no, that's a lashon that doesn't belong in the world of neder. Now this way that we set up the machlokas, pliga the Rabbi Akiva, argues on Rabbi Akiva. Da gavra, da amar mishamtano, ben ichsei de brei, the Rabbi Irmiya bar Abba. Right, some person who says that I'm shamtana. He used the lashon of shamtana, meaning that he implied, or he was trying to say that I'm osur in the possessions of the son of Rabbi Irmiya bar Abba, ato lekamid Rabbi Chista, came for Chista Malay, leish lechash lo lechad Rabbi Akiva. Right, so nobody worries about Rabbi Akiva's position. Oh. Well, here we just use the word mishamtana. According to Rabbi Papa, even Rabbi Akiva by mishamtana agreed that it's no good. The fact that Rabbi Chista even mentioned Rabbi Akiva's opinion by mishamtana means that he believed they also argued by the lashon of mishamtana plige, right? Kasavar mishamtana plige. Therefore, that disagrees with Rabbi Papa's position that the argument's only by menuda and not by mishamtana. Okay, now the Gemara is going to slide a little bit, and it's kind of on topic, off topic. It's going to slide over. Well, we mentioned nidoy and shamtana. The Gemara is now going to mention or take time to discuss about nidoy. Amarav, Ilav, Amarav. Nidoy b'fanav, ein matirin loel b'fanav. Someone was put into nidoy in front of him, that he was there in front of them when they announced it or placed him into excommunication. Right? Ein matirin loel b'fanav. You can't release him from the nidoy except in front of him. Because Ran says that it's a problem of chashto. There are other rishonim that the Ran brings that say because you did it in front of him, it's a stronger form of nidoy, and therefore he has to be in front of you. I mean, the equivalent of when you need 10. Whenever you need a minion for something, right, or 10 people, if you engage something with 10 people, you need to disengage with 10 people. So that's the same thing here. Because it was done in front of him, it was a stronger form of nidoy, and therefore to disengage, you have to also do it in front of him. The Ron says he doesn't think that's right. He thinks that the issue here is that chashto, that it's marasayin, our problem. What is this other guy is going to be in nidoy. If you don't take him out of excommunication while he's in front of you, other people are going to start to treat him without being in nidoy, like as if he's not in nidoy. And then people come to suspect, either he'll suspect them that they're not, right, treating him as in nidoy, or other people will see them and they won't know about it. So the whole point is here to make it clear. If you did it in front of him, you do it in front of him. So it's always clear, right, that he was put into nidoy and he was released from nidoy. That's the way the Ran learns the sugya here. Right now, nido shelo b'fanav. If it was done not in front of him, then matin lo ben b'fanav ben shelo b'fanav. If he was put into nidoy when he wasn't there, he was excommunicated when he wasn't in front of him, then whether he's in front or not in front, right, then you can place him out, because why? He won't have a chashto, just like he ended up in nidoy. He can say, when somebody treats him that he's not in excommunication, we'll think of the same way that they put me in, they took me out. Right, amarav, chanin amarav. That Hashomeya Haskaros Hashem Impichaveru Tzerchlindot, someone who is Motzi Shem Shemaim Levatala, you have to excommunicate him immediately. V'im lo nidu, if you don't excommunicate him, who atzmoi v'im nidu, that person themselves should be excommunicated. Why? Shikol makom shaskar Hashem Mitzuya, whenever there is Shem Shemaim Levatala, Sham Aniyut Mitzuya. Right, that's, if then we know that then poverty and let's say negative things transpire in that location. So we need to put a stop to it. We need to end this right away and to stop a person from doing such a thing. So therefore it must be placed in nidoy right away.
Which shame?
Which shame, Hashem? Right. I would say, I don't know, that's a good question.
Just don't say it, okay?
I don't know, right? Meaning you're asking, does it have to be the actual shame havayah, shame amfarash? Or even when you use a shem kinoi, does it work over here?
Yesh yad la shem.
Right. I don't know. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think back because there is machlokes rishonim by ksivas Hashem. I don't know. Let me just say that.
We just have a few pages left. One of them using God's name. One of God's name when he was.
Wait. Can we shvua? If you have to have a shem Hashem by shvua.
No, he was just saying it as in a retort. He just kind of said, you know, Elokim or something.
Oh, yes, yeah, I don't know. Elokim necessarily at, right? Right, it's not Elokim, it's an expression. So Elokim has a two, the word Elohim can use the Torah in a mundane sense and in a godly sense. Yeah, I can refer to judges, I can refer to anybody who is in a position of power. Right? Not necessarily to God, so I don't understand.
With the word Adonai.
Right. But if you're using it for the Shem Hashem, then maybe, I don't know, it's a good question.
It brings out of here that the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch said that the same rule of the Gemara applies to someone, even if there's someone say Bracha Levatah, which would imply that it's not just the Shem HaMetorah.
Right. I would agree. I'm thinking in that direction, but I don't know if that's, I'm assuming you're right. I'm assuming that is the case. I didn't want to say it because I'm not positive.
Brought to the Vatala by
accident. No.
In any case, it's kind of talking about where it's done amazing.
But even then, there's different pronunciations of. Even today, you have people that say funny, different ways.
All right. I'm not well versed enough to address the issues. I apologize. But I just point out here that the Ran has an interesting interpretation. Why is the scars of shame? What's Oni have to do? Why is there poverty or destruction? The shame of Hashem is there. So he says, because Mizkarta shame, the mitzvah. Why do we see Mevia Osher? Why do we see that the mentioning of Hashem's name can bring wealth or successes? Because it says in the Pasuk in Shmos, or it says, B'chol makom asher yazkir et shmi, every place that my name is mentioned, avoy lechol berachticha, I will come there and bless you. So you see, when the Hashem's name is used in the positive sense, right, therefore it brings to bracha and osher, and therefore when it says, then the assumption would be that if it's used in the negative sense, then that it would do the opposite, that the misuse of Hashem will provide or produce oni instead of osher. Which is interesting, just an interesting interpretation. Alright, now, the anius kemiso. Right, and there, Aeneas is like miso, and the poverty is like death. Shneamar kimeitu. So of course we have to have parshas Hashavua. Shneamar kimeitu kol anashim. I mark shimat nafshecha. Hashem says to Moshe, the people who want to kill you are dead. So what does the Medrash say about who are these anashim? These are Dathan and Aviram. But are they really dead? They show up in Adas Korach. So what does the Medrash say? The Medrash says that they became impoverished. Since they became impoverished, right, therefore they were considered ke mace, as if they were dead. So that's it. Now the Ran spends some time, which is funny. Ran spends some time that we know that there are arba chashuvim ke mace. Right, there are four people that are considered like a mace, right, and that is the ani, a poor person, right? Suma, mitzora, minchein lobanim. So then he goes through each one of these and says, why did the Medrash conclude that they were aniim and considered to be dead and not any of the other points. In the end, he says, it's interesting. He says that Moshe was afraid that they would go and speak to Paro, right? Again, they'd be marching to Paro and tell him that he was back. So, the Iran concludes that the only one that could be is Oni, that it was poverty. And the reason was that they lost their standing. And that when they were, either wealthier or more, well-to-do, they had a standing, and therefore they could go to Paro and they could speak to Paro, or they had the ability to communicate. Once they became impoverished, they lost their status of stature, and therefore they couldn't go speak to Rabbi Malshin on Moshe Rabbeinu. So just because it's part of the Shavua, just to point that out, that's why he believes that the Ani Chashuv Kumeis was the specific issue that Dathan Aviram had. Again, he goes through the others and rejects them. If you want to spend some time on it, it's good, because it happens to be part of the Shavua. All right, V'tanya, wherever the Chachamim place their eyes, O Misa, O Oni. Either Misa or Oni shows up. I mean, that's why over here, I think that the Gemara says, that the person who hears Haskar Hashem, it doesn't place him in Nidoi, who to have in Nidoi? He'll be in Nidoi, and that's what the Chachamim, wherever they put their eyes, or whatever they're trying to establish, if they put them into a Nidoi or something happens, that creates Oni and Misa. Therefore, a person should, for sure, place the person who says Haskar Hashem in Nidoi, because otherwise he's going to be in Nidoi, and he'll be faced with those issues of Oni and Misa. So, Amar Rabbi Abba, and the point here, again, is to stop. Because the Shem Shemayim Vatala had such dramatic impact, or such bad outcomes, therefore the Chachamim wanted to stop it in its path. They wanted to stop the misuse of Hashem, and therefore they said, you got to put him in Nidoi right away, so you got to show them that this is a severe or serious issue, and they want to put a stop to it right away. Right, so now the Gemara says, "Am Rabbi Abba Abba Kamina Kamed Rav Huna." That was before Rav Huna. Shema la Hachitah to the Afkod Haskar Hashem Levatolo. that she mentioned the Shem Hashem Levatala for no reason. Shamto, he put her in Nidui, the Sharlal altar, the apple, and right in front of her, he again released her from this Nidui. Shmamina Tlat, from this we conclude three things. Shmamina, Shomei Askars Hashem Epi Chaveru Tzarchlin Doto. Right, that's one. That's what we said before. If you hear the Shem Hashem misused or Levatala, you gotta put him into Nidui right away. He was mati her right away in front of her. So therefore you see what the conclusion we had above, which is that when you place them into Nidoi when they're in front of you, you've got to release them from Nidoi while they're still in front of you. That Nidoi does not have any defined amount of time. And Nidoi could be for any amount of time, meaning that could be for a moment, and then you can release them right away. There's no fixed amount of time, it's not like a 30-day nazir. There's not a stam nidui is for 30 days. We don't have that. It's going to be for any moment. So, and that's the point here, was that the reason that he did it, right, is in order to dissuade her. He was trying to show her he wasn't necessarily placing her into nidui because she needed to be in nidui, but he wanted to show her the seriousness of what she did, or the offense. So by putting her nidui and releasing her, so even though she's not in nidui, she realizes that the offense or what she did was so serious that she needs to correct that action or not say the Shem Shemayim Levatal anymore. I'm Rav Gidol Amarav. Tama Chacham, Menada Le'atzmo, Umeifer Le'atzmo. Tama Chacham can put himself into nidui and release himself from nidui. Pshito, the Gemara says, that's simple. Mahadutema, what would be the Havamina? This is the Gemara in Brachos, discusses that. Ein chalvush matir atzmo beit asurim. Someone who's imprisoned can't free himself. Now, in order to free yourself, you need an outsider to come to free you. So therefore, we would have thought the Havamina is, since you need an outsider to free you, if you're in need to it, you need someone else to release you. Kamash Gulon, that's not the case, that you can release yourself from need to it. Hey, Chidami, what's the case over here?
Particularly useful. Nobody else can put you in nidui while you put yourself in nidui. So if you do make a mistake, quickly put yourself in nidui before anybody else.
Hey, Kadami, what's the case here? Kehad Marzutra Chasida. Marzutra Chasida. Kimichaya Barbe Rav Shamto. Whenever one of the students in the yeshiva was required to be placed into nidui, Shamit Napshe Bereshe. First he put himself into nidui. Vahadar Mishramad Barberab. And then he would place the student into Nidui. So I think again to show that it was difficult for him to do this. He didn't really want to do this, and to show also to be, Emo Anochi Bitsara. I'm in the same pain. And number two is to I think not show that the Talmud that it wasn't something personal that he was doing, but rather he was doing it right, Nashem Shemaim. So he placed himself in Nidui first and then placed the Talmud into Nidui. Then when he was, Mishamid Eshbereshah, Bahadar Mishamid Beirah, Bechi Albebeite, Sharla Napshe. But when he came into his house, he would release himself from Nidoi, Bahadar Sharile. And then he would release, he'd release the Talmud Chacham. So, the question is, what's going on here? When can you release? When can you not release? So there's an interesting machlokus here, between the Rashba and the Ran. You look down in the Ran, 2, 4, 5 lines from the bottom. 5 lines from the bottom of the Ran here. Katavar Ashbazal. So it's cut at the beginning of that line. Katavar Ashbazal, the Dafka Hecha, the Lavi Bar Nidui. The only time a Talmud Chacham can, this goes, I didn't interest Daniel, this is for you, that the only time a Talmud Chacham can place himself in Nidui and release himself for Nidui is when he's not really Chayav Nidui. When he shouldn't really be put into Nidui. I mean, he didn't do something that requires Nidui over here. Gad Marzutra. Because like Marzutra, which is the example in the Gemara, the Midat Chatzid of Alma, that was something he did, that was Lefnei Mishur Zadim, Mishur Miyakur, the Barbei Rav, because he didn't want to treat the Talmid HaChamim, was to give them Kavod. Av Mishar Menavshe, Aval Kishiminade at Atzmo, Al Dabar Shayach Chayav Alav Nidui, he puts himself into Nidui when something that he did was wrong, Loko Meil Atir Atzmo, then he can't get himself out, then he needs someone else to get him out. Right?
So the Gemara said Pshita
then. Oh, so that's the next question, very good. So that's the Ron's question, exactly. I mean, what is that pshita? I mean, that's exactly what we're teaching you here, that a person can only release himself in this unique case of Marzutra. That's that, why would that be pshita? I mean, that, Papa, the state.
It can't be that he meant the case where it's not chassidus, that it's,
But Rav Gidol Amarav makes a statement, a general statement, Tama Chacham Nuda Atom Mefer
La'atom. And restricted now only in the case.
No, but that's not pshita, because by the fact that you have to define it or tell us something about it, that's not pshita. That's exactly, that's what the Gemara could have said, is it's coming to tell us. He's teaching us that work, in a particular case, works. This works only in cases of Midas Chasidus. That is already a limud.
No, it's so obvious that it only works in that case, and that case is so obvious that he could do it, that, you know what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying. So that's what the Ron says. He rejects because of this word. Big show, love, and can't ever make sure love, pshita. Mekami do omar, ki had amar zutra, the rabba, havalei mar amai. Instead of using the word pshita, just say amai. Why can he release himself? Oh, because of the case of mar zutra, because it's midas chasidus. The fika, amro, b'chol inyon, shenita tatsmo, mefer latsmo. Say that, no, you can release yourself in either case. And chen tatsa rabba, that's the way rabba learns. Riti, so he solves the problem. He says, but I did find, mixes mishparshim, shakavit lo garsinim pshita. There's some rishonim who don't have the lashon pshita in the girsa in the Gemara. Ah, once you don't have the girsa of pshita in the Gemara, he says you can hold like the Rashba. Then it's not less difficult to hold like what the Rashba is saying. That, whereas if you have the word pshita in there, he says, I don't think you can say that in the Gemara, and it must be that a Talmud Chacham can release himself, even if it's a case where he's chayav.
That's what maybe, Antapir is saying, so maybe for those few seconds or minutes that the Talmud wasn't benidui, Marzutra Chassidus figured, hey, there's a few minutes where we didn't.
Right, but that's only in a reference to Askos Hashem Levatala. So I don't know.
We don't know why they're going into Nidui.
Yeah, over here we don't have that mentioned. And then the Ron himself says, Ron asks from a different sugi earlier on, Ron says, well, isn't there an obligation to put anybody who violates mitzvahs into Nidui? What's unique about Shem Shemai Levatala? I mean, that even Yerushalmi, you see that there's Yerushalmi that says that anybody who is a open violator of the mazes of mitzvot, we place them into nidui. So why is the Gemara spending time on a skirt shame to the mind of Vatolos? The conclusion in the round is what? That exact point. That someone who doesn't put someone into nidui in general, that's not a problem. But if you don't put someone into nidui when it comes to shame to the Vatala, to hey, be nidui. So that's unique to shame to the mind of Vatala. So that aspect of if you don't put them into nidui, you should be in nidui. That's unique to Shem Shemayim Vatala, and that's not clear that that's the case by Marzutra.
Don't you also say that by...
But you want to say it's a continuum in the Sugya. Is that what you want to suggest? Right. It's a possibility, and then right, that would be a nice, really nice explanation of Marzutra. I didn't see it. That doesn't mean nobody said it. I didn't see it, but it could be. Very well could be.
I say, the requirement by the situation of putting people into nidui for being public violators of other mitzvahs in general, right? I mean, it sounds like that requirement is somebody is an inveterate sinner, then you have to not you see a single instance of a transgression that somebody does. Whereas it sounds like by taking Shem Hashem Lelatala Lashav, that on any single instance of it, you have to... And that's, the example of the case, the woman, where he put her into excommunication and then immediately was rotulent, that sort of,
I'll read you the lesson on the Shalmi. Ha'am Rina B'Shalmi, the whole She'eno Se'a Keshura Tzarech L'Ndota. Doesn't say,
She'eno
Se'a Keshura, somebody doesn't act properly, Tzarech L'Ndota. So it doesn't seem to be something where what you're saying, which is that this person is a recurring problem. But if anybody who doesn't act properly, you put them into nidui.
Right.
Right.
So
the last thing.
Inside the grocery, she has to play after. I mean, that every that means that everybody should be in nidui then. Right. Everybody seems.
Right. I assume it's something where it's public and it's bemazed. I mean, these are things that are okay. But also, the last thing is that it says here that Mashma from Marzutra that he had to release himself before he went into his house. Because otherwise, his B'nai Beita would have to treat him like Menuta. So he wanted to release himself. Right? The Elomite, Ki'alabete, right? Then he wouldn't be out there. So he says that the Ravid suggests that Ishto Eno Chayevet Limbog Nidui. By a person is in Nidui, his wife doesn't have to treat him like a Nidui. Why? Because Ishto Kagufo. Since Ishto Kagufo, then they don't have to treat him like a Nidui. The Ron brings a proof. The Ron deals with whether the proof's a good proof or not, but just interesting note that here that Mazutra talks about that the reason he released himself so that his family didn't have to treat him benidui, but maybe that might be the rest of the family, not his wife in this case. Alright, we'll stop here.
Well, my first thought with Mazutra, when he excommunicated himself, was that, kind of like the idea of the Eglar Rupa. There's a camp saying, he was Rosh Hashiva, and part of his Talmidim. Or if his talmidim did it, so he felt a certain amount of uprightness, you know, for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody says that.
I think we mentioned
it. It's handy.